Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 317. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by...
I am the walrus. Cuckoo-cuckoo.
And Trapticle!
He's not a walrus. Well, walrus. He's RPG Maniaco 5, by the way.
You don't know. You don't know my life, man. You don't know the things I've seen.
Pretty sure walruses can't talk or play video games. Just saying.
Are you judging me, man?
Or, I'm like, just a walrus, play them well anyway with their, like, flipper hands, because, you know, that's... Yeah, good luck with that.
Maybe I'm like a science experiment gone horribly, horribly right.
Anyway, so yeah, what you been playing? A middle segment that Chapter Quill is going to reveal to us at the time of the middle segment, and we'll just go with it in the news and stuff.
Aimless surprise! That sounds like a very bad cafeteria food item.
Creepy.
So, what you been playing? Who wants to go first? Oh, actually, wait, before I start, I forgot to, talk about the score at the end of last week's episode. So let me, let's start with a scorecard recap real quick, and then we'll, go on to the next, or what we've been playing. So, Tekken's in the lead with 10, RPG's at 6, Tactical's with 3. I would read the list of the games, but I'll wait until the end of the podcast to read the names of the games that we have finished. And then I have like 3 in the disputed column, so you know, whatever.
They don't! DLC does not count as a game. That's not...
Gives you an experience, RPG. Those are experiences.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, who wants to go first? What you've been playing?
You said you would.
Oh,
so
I did? Alright, well, I don't remember saying that, but I guess I'll go. So, you know, still playing XCOM. The things are, you know, escalating. I'm almost at the mission where I can do stuff and attack that giant fortress thing, and then I think I have to do, like, one more special thing, and that's, like, the final mission where you have to, like, somehow get your soldiers, like, augmented with some sort of, like, weird thingy. But I don't have Titan armor, so it's like, I don't want to do that mission without Titan armor, because it's going to be a one-way trip for that fire team. So, right now, I'm building up my soldiers to have, like, all colonels, which is, like, the highest rank. So it's like, if I lose the entire team, it's like, well, at least I got backups, like, across the board, so... Yeah. Haven't delved into any of the meld stuff, or the, the melding or the meching on your units to make them mech people, or just weird mutant... Or not mutant, but genetically altered humans with, like, cool genetic, whatever stuff they can do. That stuff.
Alien magic.
Alien magic. And then besides that, I played that game that starts with a D I don't want to talk about, and I'm not going to talk about it because F that game.
Ooh, Destiny? And you love it?
It wasn't fun with the gang?
It's not that it's not fun, Tropical. It's just, like, I'm ready to be done with this game. Like, I played
it. Why do you keep playing it, then?
Because RPG.
I don't understand.
I have a goal, and I got to get there, and I can be like, yes, I've done it. I've got to my goal, because I'm a goal-oriented person, and then I'll be happy. And then, well, I won't be happy, but I'll... Well, I guess, like, whatever. I'll like, you know, I can't just, like, leave it undone and be like, well, I quit before I got to the thing and did stuff, so... Yeah, I'll be unfulfilled and, like, unhappy, and I'll feel like the game beat me, and it broke me, and it didn't beat me, and broke me. Because Tekken doesn't give up on that game. Because, I mean, I can keep taking it, because it's going to keep giving it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop.
Sounds very inappropriate.
That doesn't mean Tekken just quits when the tough gets going. He keeps on going, because, yeah, can't break me. I mean 319, whatever. Like, that was, like, a couple weeks ago. We're in the 335 ranges, and, like, I can see myself getting there. I mean, it might take a couple weeks, maybe a month at tops, but I'll get there, sure. Like, I was, like, playing it, and then I was thinking about playing it Wednesday. I was like, dude, I can't do this. Like, just, I was, like, playing it earlier on Tuesday. I was, like, doing stuff, and I was, like, playing it, and I was, like, okay, I'm gonna take a break from streaming, and I was, like, okay, I'll come back later. And I was, like, you know what? I don't want to play this anymore. I'm gonna just wait until trade time. F this game. And then I went and did something else, and then, yeah, I was happy with my life. I was, like, this is why I need to be done with this game. And I was, like... Yeah, like, knowing that I've won RPG when I walk away is, like, you know, the ultimate, you know, FU game, because...
I mean, but did you really ever win?
I got to my goal, and you didn't crush my dreams. You didn't break me.
Because, I mean, I think, really, the game having you keep coming back is kind of the game winning. You're actually not winning at all.
I disagree. Because I will delete my the game off of my hard drive at that point, like when it's like, oh, well, our fall update, because that's all I'm talking about now, is like the air quote fall update, because you know the spring update, ooh, it's terrible. And so, you know, I mean, it wasn't terrible, it's like, psh, it's like a joke, whatever, I'm not gonna talk about it, whatever. So it's like, you know, fall update is just expansion, so it's like, psh, you're not good, you got me once, shame on you, get me twice, or fool me twice, shame on me, and like, you're not gonna fool taken twice, so it's, yeah, it's not happening, and I'm not. No, I'm not coming back, we just need to. So go after yourself there, too. Ha ha ha. You're not getting any more of my money. Activision, Bungie, go after yourselves.
And, just after yourselves in the B, man. Yeah, in the B.
F them in the B. But, yeah, besides that, I played some Need for Speed, and it was a nice palate cleanse from that other game that starts with a D. So, yeah. It was a fun-filled race time before the podcast where I was like, man, Frostbite Engine. I can't wait to play Mass Effect Andromeda, because that's all I ever think about when I play the game. It looks so good! It looks so good! At nighttime, when it's raining, and it's just like, oh, it looks so good! And then, like, when you go under a tunnel, and, like, it gets a bit dark, but then you come out of the tunnel, and it gets lighter, but it's, like, not super light, so it's, like, this cool thing with, like, the bloom and the darkness, but it's, like, how do they do that? It's, like, it's lighting, but it's at dark time. It's, like, oh, like, nighttime, dark, or nighttime lighting weirdness. It's amazing. It's amazing. It just looks amazing. And just like, ah, oh, just, ah, oh, yeah. Oh, so good. Frostbite Engine. Just.
Oh my.
Need for Speed is next gen. I will say that. Just, because there's some games you play, Watch Dogs, and it's like, man, this doesn't look amazing. Need for Speed, you play that game, it's like, oh man, this is effing incredible. It's one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. Ugh, just, ah, every time I look at it, just like, PS4, we have arrived. Ugh, redeeming quality of spending $400 on this console. Ah, oh, that's so good.
Apologize to Watch Dogs. It wasn't nice. That wasn't nice at all.
I meant great too. Let's see. I think that's all I played. Actually, that is all I played, because I was going to stream something else that was, like, retro today, and I was like, well, I could do a retro stream, and I said I was going to do that a couple weeks ago, but my Wii hasn't charged my batteries on my Wiimote, so I can't play Resident Evil 4 right now, and I don't want to charge my batteries, and yeah, so look forward to that next week of Resident Evil 4. You should play RPG, and I'm going to keep talking about it until you do, or even if you don't, it's like, you're missing out, man. I don't care what you think about escort missions, because Ego is, like, the best escort mission of all time, and it's an amazing game from start to finish. It's amazing.
I refuse.
And that's all I've been playing. RPG Tropical?
Tropical said he'd love to go.
You know, I think we have the order, basically. We don't need to ask who goes, because RPG always seems to go last. Oh, man. After saying that, I blanked out. Oh, okay. So... I can add one to the scoreboard, and this is what my plan was to finish a bunch of downloadable games that I had, and I went and finished Blue Estate, which is a light gun game, which uses the DualShock 4, and it doesn't even need the camera, it just uses the gyros in the controller.
So wait. So your gun is the light gun, instead of like just pushing buttons and using a cursor? Like old school if you didn't have the light gun?
It is a cursor on the screen, but you control where the cursor is by moving the controller.
Oh, interesting. That is a new
thing. So it's, like, kind of a light gun. It's like the move light gun games. Like, those you didn't really aim like you do in the arcades. It was also a cursor on the screen. The difference is, you know, before the move and Wii Remote, you had to, like, slowly scroll your cursor around with the analog sticks, and now you can do it really fast with motion controls. I initially thought it was a really cool, I initially thought the game was really cool because it had like these mechanics where you use the touchpad. And for example, like in the first few stages, you play a guy who has long hair and it keeps falling onto his face and you have to like swipe it out of the way. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. but yeah, it doesn't keep, I guess, calibrated very well. So you have to sort of constantly push. There's a button, one of the trigger buttons, like, recenters the cursor back to the center. And I don't know if it's because of the way that I was playing, which was essentially, I just had the controller down on my lap. And I wasn't really moving it in sort of big motions, just little motions, and I guess so it thought my play area was very small, so even minute motions it thought, say, okay, now this is the center. Now this is the center. It's like, no, I'm not moving that much. It's right here. So I just had to keep resetting it. But other than that, yeah, it's crude, I guess, but it was pretty fun. And
got the job done more or less.
Pretty much. And I did, because I finished it. So, yay, one more. What else? Oh, yeah, so this was like a big beta weekend for me for some reason. Like, the Overwatch... I finally got invited into the Overwatch closed beta, which just had its last test weekend this weekend. And so I was very excited. I downloaded that and played it. And, yeah, it's basic. I thought it was a MOBA, but it's basically Team Fortress.
I love Team Fortress.
Except in, or Team Fortress 2. But instead of just
the... And I don't like it anymore.
however many classes there are in Team Fortress, like instead of just that bunch, it's like 20 some characters. And they are divided into different classes, but they all play very differently.
Oh, that's cool that it's like a class-based system. So it's like you have like a DPS support and like so-and-so for like classes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, it's kind of like, that kind of like makes it like Pokemon then, because it's like grass type, fire type, ghost type.
Yeah, kind of.
there's
attackers, there's defenders, there's supports, and then there's,
I could like see them like, just keep adding heroes over time on this game.
I think that's what they're gonna do, like, that's probably the plan.
Gotta play them all. Overwatch all of you. You shoot me and I'll shoot you.
This is sounding a lot more violent than Pokemon.
Gotta kill them all. Gotta shoot them all. Overwatch.
Oh my.
There are some things that take some getting used to, like, I don't know if Team Fortress 2 is like this, but, like, not all the characters can sprint. In fact, I think only one character can sprint.
That would kill me. It's like, I can't, like after Call of Duty, it's like, I can't go back to not sprinting. That's like, I would not be able to play that class.
Yeah, so it feels really weird sometimes, because you're, like, it's not like, what's something you guys played? Well, so in MAG, you know, the battlefield's really big,
yep.
And if you had to always spawn from the base, it would, you know, you'd spend 60% of the game running up to the front line, only to get shot right when you got there, and then you have to start over. It feels kind of like that, except obviously not the map isn't that big. So yeah, it is weird, like, when only one character can sprint and everyone else, they just have like their own like, built-in speed. So there is, like, one of the support characters is on skates, I think. And since he's support, like, his support ability is he can either have this sort of healing aura, so everyone around heals, or he can switch it to a speed aura, and then everyone around him moves really fast. So you could do things like...
Oh, that's cool.
If you like, knew your whole team was dead, you just, like, wait at the spawn point, and then everyone is running towards the objective, and then you, like, speed everyone up, and then your whole team can move really fast back to the objective. That character is super fun. Probably my favorite part, the characters, just having classes and then characters within those classes, and all the characters are so unique. It's like, oh, it's very, very cool. My favorite, the roller skating guy. There's, I think her name is D.Va, and she's supposed to be like an ex-StarCraft player who decided to go into this competitive Overwatch thing, and she rides in this mech. And her ultimate ability is she jumps out of the mech, and the mech explodes and kills, like, anyone near.
That does not sound...
And you can do really cool things, like, you can rocket boost with it, so it's going really fast, and then jump out of the mech, and the mech, like, continues to have the momentum of your rocket boost.
Oh, dear. And so basically, it's like a missile.
Yeah. Or it's more like that thing that people do in Battlefield where they put a bunch of C4 on a Jeep, and then drive it really fast into a base and then jump out and let the Jeep just roll in and destroy everybody.
Oh, dear.
In fact, I saw a really cool... There's a feature in the game called Play of the Game. And at the end of every match, it will show, like a really cool multi-kill or a kill streak or something. Yeah, it's very weighted towards kills, so that kind of sucks. But I saw one today that was like, someone was using D.Va, and they just rocketed the mech into the air and then jumped out, and it did like the full arc. It went up in the air and went down and landed on the objective and killed like five guys. It was like, that's cool.
Their knowledge of physics is scary.
It is really neat. So those two characters are really fun. And then I guess people don't like to play tanks because they're sort of boring. D.Va's a tank, and there's another tank. I think his name is Reinhardt. He's sort of like this big guy in sort of medieval-looking armor, but he has an energy shield that can take something like 2,000 damage or 20,000 damage. So you're just sort of walking forward slowly with this shield, and the other team can't really hit you from the front. And then his like sort of charge ability, he rocket charges into you, and if you get hit, you get pinned. So he's just like holding onto you as he's flying forward, and you just get pinned until you run into a wall. And then basically he kills you with his big hammer. Yeah, there's melee guys. And then a character I'm really bad at, but has a really awesome sort of shooting animation. Genji is like this robotic ninja looking thing. And he throws like these throwing stars. And he has a sword that he can use it. I don't think I ever got it right, but wherever your cursor is pointing, he pulls out the sword and then deflects bullets back to that point.
Oh, that sounds like it would be very difficult to, like, pull off.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really cool if you could pull it off, but I don't think... I basically used it as a block. I was just like, I'm blocking. I don't mean to kill you with any of these bullets. I'm not going to hit you. But you're not hitting me, so hey, it is a win-win. Whew, yeah. Man, that game is so fun. Can't wait. I think I had more fun in Overwatch than I did in Battleborne. So Battleborne is like, even though they're coming out first, it's an uphill battle.
You already sold me on the robotic ninja. What's happening now, guys?
So yeah, that's one beta. Another beta I've been sort of playing off and on and off, and I didn't know I could talk about is Paragon, which is like really, really a MOBA. Like, it is not... At first I thought, oh, it's like an action game with sort of MOBA-type objectives. You have to destroy these towers and then destroy the core. And to do that, you're doing sort of action game stuff. But not really. It's actually almost, if you could imagine sort of over-the-shoulder League of Legends, like, it is basically that. So your guns don't go, like, you can't shoot very far. You can point your gun, but if it's not lit up red, then it's not going to hit the guy. Switching, so the character I've been playing a lot is, I think his name is Mardok. He looks like a Gears of War character, basically. And he has, Mardok like, Phoenix. A regular gun. Mardok Phoenix. Basically. And a shotgun, which is sort of like a cone-shaped attack in the front. And then these sort of energy mines. And then he has an ultimate ability, which is like a really long-range laser. And, yeah, like when you're walking, you can't... It's not like you can shoot as fast as you can pull the trigger. It's just you hold down, shoot, and it takes like a second or two between every shot to fire another shot. It's like, this feels not action-y at all. And I guess I just don't understand the strategy right now. Like, I understand Heroes of the Storm, because I've played like 800, 900 games. League of Legends, I guess I played far less, and now playing Paragon, like, I don't understand when you're supposed to do stuff. I'll be in a lane fighting off minions, but I'll be watching my teammates, and they'll just be like roving around in a pack looking for people to pick off. It's like, whoa. That can't always work, because if the other team is doing that too, then it's always going to be 5-on-5, and it's just like, whoever's better, and this kind of a crapshoot. But yeah, it's there is a steep learning curve with Paragon. You just, hopefully it's because it's the alpha and they just like, oh, you know, we'll make the tutorial stuff later. So you better know what you're doing, because people are going to yell at you if you don't know what you're doing. It's like, why are people so mean?
Because the internet allows them to be.
Have you ever played PvP mode in a game before? Are you new to this? Sorry. This is how people are in these games. That's why I don't play them.
And it's really funny because, like, only, it's cross-play, so you're playing with people on PC, and only the people on PC can be super belligerent, because the people on console, we just have, like, I think it's, like, 16 pre-made phrases. And I don't think any of them are negative. You can't say sorry or anything. So if someone tells you off, then you can just say, good job, or defend left.
You really told me.
Attack mid.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Other than that, I don't know. I guess I like MOBAs. So as far as playing it, I'm okay with like learning how to play it, but I'm telling you, if you've never played any before, like it is hard. You're sitting there, it's like, oh, okay. So I'm shooting these guys and you know, it seems to be helping my team, but then everyone is really mad for some reason. It's like, okay, now I'm running over here. Okay. Now I'm running over here. Oh, it has this mechanic where, so when you're like, there's two modes. There's like a travel mode where you run really fast. And then there's a combat mode where you run sort of like regular. Yeah. It's like roadie run speed and then like regular Gears of War speed. And when you roadie run, there's like an activation time. So you got to push L2 and then push X. And then there's like a 6-7 second activation time for you to go into travel mode. But if you get hit while you're in travel mode, then you get stunned. And like, you just, for like 4 seconds, 3 seconds, you just can't move and you're just a sitting duck. So it's very, like, I don't know how you're supposed to, defend yourself in some cases. Like sometimes you'll just be essentially minding your own business, you know, shooting enemy minions and like enemies. Characters will come to kill you and you're just like, well, I guess if there's one, maybe I can survive. If there's two, I guess I'm just supposed to lay down and die because I can't run away. If I try to run, then I'll get rooted and then they're going to kill me. And I can't possibly kill two of them that quickly. So there are aspects of the strategy I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I'm just screwed here. So I'll just put down the controller and come back after I respawn. So that's Paragon. And then the third beta this week was, and I think it was an open beta, but the Doom open beta. Did anyone play it?
Nope, but I saw, no. I saw one tweet on Twitter that was like not people not liking it, but I'm not sure if that's like the consensus.
Yeah, I did hear a lot of people didn't like it. It's very, I guess it felt very old school to me. So you also can't sprint in Doom, as far as I could tell. But you move very, very quickly, like in the old Doom games. And then, unlike the old Doom games, you don't have, there's not like weapon pickups. You get loadouts in the beginning. So you pick up, you know, you pick what weapons you want, and then you just go into the game. And there's tons of pickups, they're just not weapons. There's like ammo, armor pieces, I think there are health packs, and occasionally a like demon rune would spawn, and then if you got it, you turned into one of those jetpack demons, and you were super powerful.
Wait, why is there a beta for Doom? Isn't it like a single person FPS, or whatever the hell those things are called?
No, like Doom. Why would Doom be single player only? I think that'd be crazy.
I have no idea.
Was Doom 3 single player only?
Wait, what?
Was Doom 3 single player only?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine a Doom game that was single, that is single player only, because they originated deathmatch.
Doom 3 might have been just because it was so graphics intensive at the time, but I don't, I don't believe it was.
Well, yeah, a different game then. I don't know.
Maybe I would have to look it up. But yeah, this was like their multiplayer beta, and it doesn't look as good as the single player. The single player looks crazy amazing, and this looked pretty good, but not super amazing like the single player seems to look. But it felt very old school. I mean, I was playing the Overwatch beta, and you know, I'd been playing the Battleborn beta, and it's like, oh, there's all this stuff, and there's all these different characters, and the rules of the game aren't simple, like just go out and kill everyone who has a red name above their head.
Red versus blue.
Huh? Yeah. But that's what Doom Beta was. It's like, okay, go out and just shoot people, and like the assault loadout, which is the default one that you start with, is just you have a rocket launcher and you run around with a rocket launcher, but it takes like two or three shots to kill someone. And yeah, it feels like what I think old Doom felt like back in the day. It probably doesn't, but it was like reminiscent of it. I don't know what to think. I think, weird as it may sound, like, yeah, Doom, I'm super interested in the single player, and not interested in the multiplayer at all.
I'm sorry.
That's really weird. And the beta was kinda like, isn't it just a rehash of like the same old of Doom, of like, oh, here's Space Marine, oh, there's a portal on hell, oh, here you go, here's demons, go shoot them.
I mean, yeah, I guess narrative-wise, that Doom hasn't gone anywhere, but sort of...
Oh, visually, I mean, it just looks amazing. It just looks
yeah,
amazing.
And sort of...
So I never like, watched some that YouTube trailer, I really was like gushing all over, and I was like, whatever it's Doom, like, I don't care.
Oh, you never saw it?
No.
It looks insane.
I saw the multiplayer trailers, though, but then you said it doesn't look as good, so now I guess I have to...
Yeah, the multiplayer trailers are just like, eh. And then when you play it, it's like, eh, this is, you know, before... Or it kind of... If Call of Duty... Modern Warfare never existed, then it might be kind of cool. But
fortunately it does.
So it's like, well, okay, so it's a Doom skinned Modern Warfare. But you don't die as easily.
Eh.
And it, oh, and it's like very corridor-y. yeah, just it feels like Unreal Tournament and just those like old school multiplayer shooters. So, probably single player for me, because that, yeah, the single player was amazing. Played some Assassin's Creed 4, still trying to finish that to 100%, and it is, I think it's gonna take a while. I finished all the outside stuff when you're in the future, and in the past, or in the Animus part. Oh, and actually the outside stuff was really cool. I mean, not the actual getting it or the walking around or any of that, but like the stuff that you actually find in the future is really neat. They had these clips that were in the fiction of the world, like Abstergo is the company that makes Assassin's Creed games. And so you can actually watch the footage of like their market research on the different characters that have appeared in Assassin's Creed games. And they're like, yeah, we were studying Altair and we thought, oh, you know, he might be, a good lead character. But then it turned out he was like really despicable and he like burnt his master and like he did all this bad stuff. So yeah, we're going to pass on him. Like Ezio was like, yeah, we thought Ezio, ladies man, he'd be really charismatic and stuff. But then it turned out. Like, he preaches freedom and stuff, but then he traveled off to faraway lands to spread his corrupt creed. And look at this, like, and it showed, like, sort of a preview. I don't think Assassin's Creed China existed yet when they made Black Flag. And it was like old Ezio talking to the lead of Assassin's Creed China. He was like, look at him with his hand on her shoulder, like, the old, lecherous Ezio shines through here, so they're like, pass on this one. The only one that they were okay with was Aveline from Liberation. I was like, oh, that's why her poster and the Black Flag poster are the only ones you ever see in the office here. So I thought that's stuff. Well, so this will lead into the middle segment, so maybe I'll save this. But yeah, I unlocked a bunch of stuff, and it was pretty fun. And then finally, I played a whole bunch of Heroes of the Storm because they just released the first character from Overwatch, Tracer.
Yeah, so you're playing that one.
Man, so fun! She is, so she's a ranged assassin, but the difference between her and other characters is she can attack while on the move. And I think the coolest part of Heroes of the Storm is how well they capture the characters that came from other games and in the style of Heroes of the Storm. So when you're playing Overwatch, you're sort of zipping around really quickly because she can, I don't know what her ability is called, like dash or blink or something. She'll just be in one spot and then suddenly zoom, and a short distance away she'll suddenly be there, and you can like do it a whole bunch of times. So she's just like zipping around and you have no idea where she's gonna be. And then her other ability rewinds time a few seconds. So in Overwatch, I didn't play much Tracer because it was really hard, but she would like, people would run towards me as a tank and like dash like behind me and then shoot me a lot, and I would turn around and then they would hit their recall and they would just disappear from where they were and appear where they were 3 seconds ago, which is behind me again, and then I would die. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. And you can do stuff like that in Heroes of the Storm with Tracer. I really understand why they call her a high skill cap character, because playing, like, the sound of me playing Tracer, just if you turn off the game sound and you're just listening to the keyboard and mouse, it would probably sound a lot more like StarCraft than Heroes of the Storm. Like, so much clicking. I was just clicking so much on my mouse. And, cause if you can, you know, if your character can shoot while she's moving, why wouldn't you move all the time? Like, then everyone who's trying to hit you with skill shots will have a much harder time because you're just a constantly mobile character. And on top of that, I think it's level 16, you get to decide how to buff your regular attack. So there's one where she reloads faster. So every 20 shots, she has to reload. And if you pick that talent, then she reloads twice as fast. And the description says, so this is about a 20% increase in DPS. So, okay. The next option at level 16 is, if you empty your entire clip into an enemy, then it does, like, the last few shots do bonus damage. And so this is like a 30% increase in DPS. And then the final one is you get active reload. So if you hit reload again, well, you know how active reloads work. It increases, like, the entire magazine is more powerful, and it's like a 35% increase in DPS. And so it's like, okay, if I want to go all damage, then I'm going to choose that one. But because it's only 20 bullets per clip and she fires them really quickly, it's not like Gears of War where you're sort of, you have a little bit of time between reloads. This is like, every 4 seconds, you have to reload again. And so, in addition to just clicking crazily on the mouse, you're also tapping the reload button on the keyboard basically all the time. And yeah, just like everything is, it feels far more active than any of the other characters in the game. It's like, oh, this is so cool. And so something, the observation, and I'm sure people observe this, but the question is, like, so basically every time they release a new character, they charge a higher price for it, whether that be in-game gold or real money. And maybe it's a coincidence, but for some, like, every time they release a new character, that character seems to be really powerful, like, overpowered. And so the question is, do they do that on purpose? so that you feel like you got your money's worth.
No, I think it's just because they haven't balanced them into the with the rest of the characters yet, so that's why they just put it out there that first week, and then actually can balance it. They just balance it the way they to have it balanced with the rest of the characters. Hmm. They get the data from the player base that's playing the game.
Well, I mean, because they always have, they also have a public test realm, they put stuff on first, and then they release them to the general public.
Sample size, though.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure, like, or so it could be that, or it could be just people don't know how to play against them yet.
Oh, there's because
there are times like the previous, I think two characters back was Zul, the necromancer, and he could do a thing where he casts a bone cage on you, and then so he casts it, and then 2 seconds later a bone cage appears around you and you can't move, and so it felt really powerful, like he could just trap you and then do nasty things on you with his teammates. And then with Tracer, though, because of the recall ability, like, recall is really cool because it not only puts you back where you were 3 seconds ago, it also negates anything that happened to you within the past 3 seconds, especially at a later point when you get, you can add to the ability where it also heals the damage that happened to you in those past 3 seconds. So oftentimes, like, Zul's will be trying to cast Bone Cage on me, and I'll just, they'll run up for the kill, and then I'll just disappear. It's like, oh, my Bone Cage is wasted. So there's, like, a lot of things that people are doing against Tracer that I guess if you didn't know anything about Tracer, you wouldn't know that you shouldn't do those things and expect that, oh, yay, now you're gonna die. You have such a small health pool, and I'm gonna capture you, and then, hey, where'd you go? It happens so much. but yeah, they captured what she feels like to play in Overwatch really well. Except, I guess, easier, because it's third person and not first person. Yeah, I think that's what I've been playing. So I finished one, but I wasted a lot of time on games that you can't finish. And I'll go back to AC4 in a little while.
Even though you've already finished it.
Yes. Oh, I meant in the podcast, like talking.
Oh, okay.
Talking about it. Yeah, I started like AC Unity, and the funny thing was I couldn't remember how to play it. Not even like plot stuff. It was just like the controls for some reason are super different from Black Flag. And I'm just like, oh man, like I don't remember how to climb buildings. Which is like the one thing you should be able to do in Assassin's Creed.
Can I just hold on? X or A?
I just could not, cause like, that's not how it works in AC4. So it was, yeah, I might have to replay some story missions to, figure out how the game works again.
RPG.
I played video games. That's all I played.
Oh, you don't say.
What are you doing here? I forgot.
Really? Are we skipping RPG?
I don't know, are we?
RPG, are we skipping you?
What? No.
What's happening?
Oh, I have no idea. What's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
You guys are confusing me.
Actually, what you've been playing, you're just like, oh, video games, whatever.
Well, let's see here. Well, I picked up Bravely Second last week because it came out on Friday. Because Nintendo. But I only played it briefly because I had to like go to work like right after I picked it up. And then I was like, it's Bravely Default anyway, so it probably wouldn't matter. So I started playing it, and I played to up like the first mini-boss. And then I was like, you know, I don't really care enough about this series to actually like keep playing. So I haven't like played it since then. But it's like, it's basically Bravely Default, except the sequel. So, if you loved the first one, you'd probably love this one.
So, only here because you're in too deep.
Basically. And it's funny because, like, at the beginning of the game, they give, like, an entire recap of the first game. And then I was like, huh, now I remember why I didn't like this. And then it's like, so then it's like, after that, you like go through all of that and it's like, yeah, this is just dumb. But then like the game begins like in the middle of like a cutscene where like one of the heroes from the previous game is because she got like named the Pope or something at the end of the first Bravely Default, but then she gets kidnapped at the beginning of this one. So then basically you're currently like trying to go like save her from some guy named Kaiser Infinity or whatever the hell his name is, some dude. And it's like, I don't know. Because then I saw that fairy from the first one and I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. So I just didn't play anymore, and that's what happened. And I was like, cool. I got my fill of Bravely Default now. So yeah, that happened. I mean, the thing is, I liked the combat in Bravely Default. Well, once you like start getting new classes and stuff, cause it's like fun and everything, but then it's just like, I feel like I just, after the first game's story, I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna do the same thing again. And I'm like, do I wanna subject myself to this and like do 50 hours and then it's like, LOL, twist time. And then it just, I don't know. I don't know. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah. Barely second, guys. And then, let's see. I played some more Ratchet and Clank. I played like a couple of more planets after the planet, what is it called? The deplanetator or something like that? The thing that blows up planets, that thing. But then it's like, it all ended like in failure and everything. So Ratchet was all sad and stuff. And he's all like, oh no, I did terrible. And he's like, Quark is bad. And it was like, oh yeah, he is like always bad in like every game. And they keep falling for it for whatever reason. But you know, it's Captain Quark. He has good publicity for some reason. So yeah, that's the thing. But, so far I am like enjoying it. Cause it's like, that game is just, it's just gorgeous, man. The game is just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. But they, like, I don't know if I want, because initially I was going to go see the movie at the end of the month, but then I noticed that some of the scenes in the game are like the same scenes that are in, like, the trailers they had for the movie, so I'm guessing that the movie's actually just going to be the game without, you know, the gameplay. So we'll simply just be, just basically just, like, all of the cutscenes with stuff in between. So I'm like, I probably won't go see it then, but I am enjoying the game at least, so that is good. And yeah, still super fun, and I heart this game, and I just got the Sheepinator, so I'm happy now, because like the transforming weapons are usually like one of my favorite weapons in the game, as with the dance ball thing.
Groovatron.
Yes, the Groovatron, which I have upgraded to its max, so it's the Groovabomb now. So it explodes after they finish dancing. Because that's how parties happen. So, yes. And then the other game I've been playing is Dark Souls 3. I've been making my way through this game, but I've been mostly just like doing the, just like helping other people. I thought about joining some of the other covenants, but then I was like, I don't want to, because they have like quite a few PvP covenants this time around. So there's like several territorial ones, and then There's very few like co-op ones like there were in the previous one, so it's like, but so I'm just kind of like sticking to the Sun Guys. I really don't remember what their covenant name is called, but the Sun Bros, those guys, and them and the Blue Sentinels. I've been kind of just sticking to them because they're really like the only real co-op-y ones. So, and apparently, like, the summoning for this one, like, when people, like, summon three of us at once, apparently there's a caveat to that. Because usually when you get invaded, there's, like, a reset timer to prevent you from, like, constantly getting invaded. But when you summon three phantoms, that no longer exist. So that means you can get, like, invaded immediately after you kill somebody, so you can keep constantly getting invaded. Cause like I was playing on this current dungeon with this one guy, and he had summoned all of us, and then we just kept getting invaded like left and right. And it was just like, It's like, you've been invaded by dark spirit so-and-so. You've been invaded by dark spirit so-and-so. Then we'll kill him. He's like, you've been invaded by dark spirit so-and-so. It's like, oh my gosh. Can we just go to the boss already? It's like, you're going to exhaust all my magic and stuff if you keep this up. So it's just like a constant stream of just dark spirits just invading him. And this guy, I don't know. I mean, it's possible that he was doing it intentionally, because you do get like, I think the reward for, because if it's the same as the previous Dark Souls, the reward is you get like half the souls they were carrying on them at the time. So he was probably doing it intentionally to kind of just like farm souls. But it's like, guy, you do realize like all of us are like limited resources, because when you get summoned, you only get half of your flask. That includes the one that heals your skill points and the one that heals your health. So it's like, I can only do so much before it's like, okay, we're all going to just run out of resources. And then when we get to the actual boss, we're just going to be just standing there looking at him, because you just made us use all our resources for this. So it was kind of crazy. And I was like, okay, let's just do this. Because I don't know if it's because of this particular level, but it seems like this one has like an unusually high invasion rate. Cause like everybody I've been helping so far has been like constantly getting invaded, like constantly. So I'm like, I don't know if it's just because it's an easier place to kill the host, because, some of the enemies on here are kind of weird. Like there's like one that's like this dancer knight that can like shoot dark energy at you, but she can also like dance around the screen and like stab you and break your guard really quickly. And then there's like these centipede women with like mouths on their chest.
Oh my.
And it's like this priest guy that could shoot like some weird homing stream of fire, which was weird because like I was trying to move, and then it like the fire like snaked behind me and came back, and I was like, what the hell? Fire does not do that. That is not how fire works. And then it's just like, it's just ridiculous. So it's like, I've seen like a lot of strategies for some invaders. They'll just run into like a group of enemies, and then they'll sit down and then just wait for, and then just like, cause like when you invade, you can't, like you won't aggro the enemies. So they'll just go into the group and then just sit down and just wait for us to come to them. And I was like, oh, this, I got our seeds. And this one guy took us literally through the entire level doing this. And I was like, okay, I'm getting tired of this. I'm getting like tired of this. So it's like, cause it's like, he'll go to one group, he'll sit down. It's like, we'll clear all of them out. And then he'll run to the next group. We'll kill them, and he'll clear all them out. And then it's like, it just, and he kept, and it was like rinse and repeat. And then it's like, eventually the other phantom that was with us got killed. But, so it's like, it was just me and the host. So then we kept going, and he kept doing this all over again. I was like, okay, I'm running low on supplies, because it's like, okay, we've like fought through like tons and tons of enemies. So it's like, okay, I can't. And then eventually like the host got killed by like this group of black knights that we went up against. And I was like, well, there goes that. But it's like, it was, it's an effective strategy, but it's kind of just like a cowardly way to fight. Cause it's like, okay, you invaded him, but you're just basically going to just let, you know, the enemies do what they already was doing, just so you can get your easy like reward thing. Because like with each covenant, whenever you complete whatever objective it is for the covenant, you get like a specific item you can turn in, and then it lets you rank up with the covenant. So then you can you after you rank up, you get like different things. Sometimes it's like a weapon or a spell, or it's like different things for each covenant. So I guess for people to invade on here, it's easier because it's like very easy to get killed with all these random type of enemies and stuff on here. So it's like, people have been really taking advantage of that. So it's like, ah, man, it drives me crazy, because like several people have done this now, where they've been like, they'll run to group or to each group of enemies and just kind of just sit down and be like, yep, you have to come to me, so haha, you can't do anything. So it's kind of funny on the levels where we've already cleared all the enemies on the entire level, because then they're like running around trying to find groups of them, and it's like, yeah, they're all dead, so you have nowhere to run. So yeah, that's always fun. So, but yeah, I've been mostly just doing that and just like helping people for the time being, and like trying to gather like new spells and everything. Because some of the new spells they added were kind of cool. Because like they've made the clerics a bit more like offensive this time around. Because usually they're more like healing and support and stuff, but they've added like several new lightning spells and like some new dark miracles and stuff that they can use, so they can actually like put up a fight with their magic now, instead of just, you know, buffing themselves or that kind of thing. So it's kind of cool. And then the Pyromancer's got new spells as well. So it's all kinds of fun stuff going on. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Yeah, one more thing about Destiny is that we were able to carry Tiger Fox through the hard mode challenge raid, so, yeah. It was his first raid, too. So.
I know, I heard about that. Someone was like, are you sure it's hard? I didn't see any of those knights trying to take the orbs. I was like, oh, this team, like, you would never see them. Especially from Tiger Fox's point of view. Like, he's just in... He was in the bubble, right?
Yeah, basically just there. It's fine, guys. I'll watch.
He's one of the titans in the middle, yep.
So that was, yeah. All right, I got three questions.
Ooh.
Yes, to all of them.
First question. Can't remember the first question. Second question.
They're off purpose. Right?
I have two questions now.
Star Fox comes out Friday?
I think so.
Should I get it?
I don't know, Tropical. I've seen some...
You like Star Fox?
Not quite as awesome as you... Like, it would have been awesome 10 years ago, but it's not 10 years ago. Yeah. Move on. Don't do it to yourself.
Do it.
Okay, so the difference is, though, I have never played Star Fox.
Oh. Damn. That's too bad, then. Double what I just said.
So what you're saying is, you should never play Star Fox, then. It is done.
I mean...
Never played it, technically shouldn't you? If it's like... Because then it's like you're basically playing like a reimagining of Star Fox.
But it's not the
without
best
ever
Star Fox RPG.
Seeing the first imagining.
It's not like, oh, nowhere to go down... Or nowhere to go from... Or it's like it's only down from where they were. It's like, it's not at its
peak.
I mean, he wouldn't know, sure, but...
Down. But I'm saying there's no down. It could only be going up.
Yeah, I guess, like, if you're only taking one, like, point as your sample, does it matter where on the up or down scale it is?
It might depend on, like, are you following the...
Well, it is Tropical, so I guess he'll like it anyway, so... So, yeah, Tropical,
well,
go ahead.
Okay, so
it's not a long
you
game,
would say,
too, so you have a good chance of finishing it, actually, so, yeah, there's that as well.
You would say, get this one, because I've never played any of them.
If you're a fan, you wouldn't know any better, so you're fine, you're fine.
Would I be better served? Because I think I can actually get the old ones, too, right?
Yeah, Star Trek 64 is a classic.
Would I be better served getting an old one?
I'd say the only old one worth getting is 64, because I have never played the Super Nintendo one, and it looks dated, so I'm not sure how good it is. And then all the other ones are like, I hear... mixed things all the time, and I'm not sure.
Hmm.
And then, like, actually, the Star Fox Adventure one on GameCube is, like, it's not even, like, you know, legit Star Fox. It's just...
Adventure.
It's just, like, fetch quests until the final part. And then Star Fox I saw, I never played, and I want to play, but, can't find a copy, so... But it's mostly, like, on foot and vehicles that aren't our wings, so... also not legit Star Fox.
Basically, there are no legit Star Foxes right now.
In legit Star Fox, are there tank sections, or is it all R-Wing? Or flying R-Wing?
There's a bit of tank. There's a bit of non-R-Wing section, I guess I'll say. It's like you can have a bit of non-R-Wing section. But if it's like
8%... those aren't the problem?
Or just a bit?
Yeah, that's not the problem with the game. I read one review, and then I looked at the score of another review, and I was like, ew. So, yeah.
But it could be because they're going off the same thing you're going off of, though, and they've played, like, the previous ones. They're like, oh, this is not the same or whatever, so.
And I'm sad because there won't be another Star Fox for, like, another 20 years because of this. It's like Metroid Syndrome all over again. I mean, not really, because this Metroid was awesome. This one is just not good, and nobody's going to buy it now, and it's like, ugh. It's terrible. Or I guess Kid Icarus syndrome. It's like, oh, you guys are pining for this game for this many years, and we made it, and you ever didn't buy it, and you ever hate it. Well, we're Nintendo, and we're never going to make one for another 20 years. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Suck it, fanboys.
Mic drop.
Oh, my mic's off. What?
I said mic drop.
Oh, mic drop. Oh, man.
Hmm. All right. I will have to consider that then.
I say you still buy it. Don't listen to him.
Because
you haven't played any of them. So, I mean,
so I've never played any of them, so like, might
you
as well get
the
newest
one. You have nothing to lose. It's a classic.
You can get a sexy new one instead.
It's not a sexy new one RPG. It's like if this came out not now, it would be way more awesome. But, you know, where we're at now in the games department, yeah.
Don't listen. Just buy it. It's practical. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Just do it. Just do it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Interesting.
Well, Gamer's going to get it. You could just wait for his verdict.
Well, Gamer's probably going to love it. He loves everything. It's like, yeah,
that's not true.
Even like stuff he hates, he loves. It's a very weird, thing with him. He's like, oh yeah, my god, so, I hate this game, but I love it. I'm going to play it every day.
Okay, since I said three questions, I'm going to do a second one. Like, how is everyone still in Destiny besides you? Or, like, how do they feel towards the game?
Well, Gamer is in the same boat I'm in. He's like, 335 and I'm out, bitches. Zafra is insane, and he's like, Destiny forever! I don't know about everybody else. I think they're just like, as it gets new content, they'll play it, but I'm not... yeah, I think they're like kind of like that part of me, where it's like, oh, there's something new, let me check it out.
Wait, have you not played any more Tropical, or...?
I haven't played it yet. Oh. I have a plan, like, I have to, clean up my vault, and I, you know, just like cleaning up your house, I'm sort of dreading it. So I've been
up your vault, Tropical. They added vault space. It'd be good.
I know, but it just feels like I should have done it. So I had sort of decided to do it, and then I haven't done it yet.
I kind of feel weird because I'm like looking at my vault. And I'm like, well, with us, with all this space now, I kind of don't need any of this stuff. But I never use it, so maybe I should just like dismantle it all and just be rid of it, so I don't have to like tear the band-aid off that hard when the next expansion comes out. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm not going to be playing their next expansion, so I guess I should just keep all my stuff I like and whatever. But then it'll be completely useless because all the light levels will go up and I, whatever. So.
You say that every time and you always go back. You always go back.
That was like one time RPG, okay?
It was every single time they've had an update.
That was one time. I was like, I'm done. I'm never playing this game again. 24-hour farewell stream. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll give it a second chance. This one time. This one time.
Mm-hmm. Just one time every single time.
It's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah, you also say that every time, too.
Whatever. I mean,
alright, third question, then. Going back to Assassin's Creed 4. So, I've finished the story, and I've been playing it, trying to play it to 100%, and I discovered, like, all of this, I guess I would call it endgame content? Like, I found, and it, like, none of them are hidden, but I had never heard that any of these things existed. You know, usually in your open world games, you finish the story, then there's some side stuff you can do, but like pretty much you're done. Like, was there anything to do after you finished, Grand Theft Auto 4?
You could get your companions to like max whatever it was called, a friendliness.
Like friendship, like. Yeah, go on dates and stuff with them, right?
Yeah, and like the stranger side missions where like you just go across somebody random in the street and they're like, oh, do this thing for me. And like this little vehicle thing of like, oh, here's a cell phone description message of this vehicle. Go steal it.
Did you get anything from those?
I don't know if it was like, I can't remember if it was Tropical. Because you might get any sweet rewards.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That.
Like I know you get
an unique vehicle. I can't remember.
Oh, okay, maybe. Like, I know, I think it was 3, or Vice City, if you collected all the drug packs, like, you kept getting more and more weapons that would appear in your your hideout.
That was Vice City.
Vice City!
So,
Or maybe it was
maybe
also
I'm,
3, I don't know. 'Cause I remember, like,
maybe I'm remembering.
Loadout all the time.
Because I know there were drug packages in 3 also. Pretty sure. Yeah, I guess I can't really remember exactly, and maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but it just feels like there's, like once you finish the story in a lot of open world games, and then you're pretty much done, and there wasn't really anything else to challenge you. So for example, like in Black Flag, I had finished upgrading my ship, so my ship was like fully upgraded, and I was like, cool, and the way I would expect it is that in other open world games, I have this totally upgraded ship, but because I finished all the story already, there's nothing to do with it. Which is not the case in Black Flag. There are, legendary ships, and they take, It's really cool. Like, they're not just bullet sponges. They each have their own mechanic that you have to figure out. And it was really neat because, like, wow, you know, usually you would think if there's unique mechanics and stuff, that would be in the story mode. But these aren't in the story mode. Like, these are totally side optional things. And they're not even tracked in the progress tracker. It's just you get a trophy for defeating all legendary ships. And I was like, huh, that's interesting that I've never heard of this. And, like, I put a video up during the week of the Mayan outfit, which is a power-up that you get. And it basically, like, when people shoot at you, their bullets don't hit you. Like, they just fly off and at angles and, like, hit the ground. And, yeah, it's just like, oh, so now I'm bulletproof. What am I supposed to do with this, though? Just go on rampages?
Yes.
And
like, so, cut swaths through forts and stuff. It's like, yep.
Except there are no forts. I took all the forts.
Oh. Well, see, that's the problem with, like, in-game stuff, because this is, like, a thing with RPGs as well, is, like, you go through the hardest trials to, like, get these things, but then once you get them, it's like, well, you technically beat the hardest content in the game to get it, so now what? So, yeah.
So, is that pretty common? Like, so the question is basically, it feels like, or so this is my observation, it feels like we sort of, games, media and stuff, like, they cover games very, like, surface level now. You know, maybe it's because there's so many games now, so we sort of have this knowledge of surface level of everything, of every game. And then beyond that, we don't really know much about them. And yeah, it was like really eye-opening for me playing this to trying to get to 100%. I was like, wow, there's like all this stuff in Black Flag that I didn't know about. Like, if I had been out there and I didn't own it and I was thinking, okay, should I buy Black Flag? I would sort of know, okay, there's like ships and it's Assassin's Creed. So there's like climbing and you stab people and stuff. And that's what I'm going to get. You know, that doesn't sound like maybe a worthy purchase, but then, and I guess it's, you know, hard to balance, but if I had known that there was all this other stuff, I was like, wow, it is way more worth it. In fact, like right now I'm thinking I might get the season pass for this to see the other stuff too.
That's how they trap you.
And so, yeah, like does it feel like that? Like we just sort of skim the surface of every game and say, yeah, this is what it is. And then you sort of make your judgments on that.
I would tend to agree with that statement because that just seems to be like the way it is, because even though there is like more to some games, like for the most part, it seems like that's not the case where it's like, oh, if I just go the distance and get all the stuff here, it's totally worth it my time to like do all this extra crap, like all the,
except for when it's not.
Yeah. It's like the base experience of the game when you're playing through the campaign to me is like all I really care about. And so like all that extra stuff to like go out and do all these side things, it's like, sure, I might get some like sweet outfit or weapon or whatever, but it's either A, not worth it, or B, not worth my time, or just like,
because there's nothing to use it on once you get it.
Or even if there is, I mean, that's not necessarily the case like all the time though, but it seems like the majority of the time, though, yeah, it is, like, the case, like, where you, like, once you get it, there's nothing to do because you've already finished the game at that point. So I think it's just a design issue, I guess, of, like, well, you know.
Because I think it's, like, the developer may, like, underestimate, I guess, like, people's needs or skills, something like in that. Because it's, like, okay, obviously, once they get this, it's going to be like they have so much left to do. But then a lot of times people are just like, okay, I did all of this and now there's no more challenge left in the game because I did all of this. And it's like there's really, you know, nothing for me because you didn't think ahead, thinking that, okay, maybe they can do this. Maybe they can do it quickly. Maybe people just won't care because they're going to be like, well, the time investment for this is not really worth it, so thanks for putting it there, but no thanks, because I'm not doing this, so I don't know.
Yeah, so like Mercenaries on PS2, it's like, if you capture all the VIPs, or high-value targets alive, you get, like, the sweet mini-nuke gun, but then if you've captured all of the targets, there's no need for a mini-nuke to take all the outposts, because you've already got them all.
Because it's like a similar thing with, like, the Ratchet and Clank games, like, the Rhino gun, which you, it's almost always an in-game, like, or like a post-game kind of gun. So by that point, it's like, well, you have it, but like, now what? You've already, you know, done everything. So there's nothing to actually, you know, test it out on, except for like all the normal enemies that, you know, you can just kill with your normal stuff. So it's like, well, sure, it looks cool, but, you know, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, Microsoft 4 is like that as well, where it's like, oh, you play through the game, and Draven has that store, but you're not going to get all that sweet stuff in that first playthrough of the game. And, like, you've already played through the game, it's like, do you really want to keep playing through the game to get all this sweet stuff in the store? Probably not.
So, I guess, wow, now I can think of several questions related to this. So, first of all, like, as far as value is concerned, like, do you think that these things add value to people?
Some people, not or, all. Because there's always that weird person like Zafra that's like, I gotta get that platinum trophy. I gotta get that platinum trophy. I gotta get all this stuff. I gotta get that platinum trophy. Whereas most people won't make it to that point and be like, oh, I finished the game. Or I guess I can speak myself for the example of like, oh, finished the game, Crunchyroll, and sweet. Is there a post, a new game plus? No, this game's dead to me now. Moving on.
But even then though, sometimes like, even when there are new game pluses, I'll rarely like actually, you know, do them unless it's just like me replaying it like later down the line, because it's like, oh, I remember loving this game, let me play it. And I was like, all right, I still have a save file, let me just new game plus it since I did. But I guess it kind of depends, because I mean with some games they do like change things, like I guess for the new game, like it'll be like a hard difficulty or whatever, but or like in the Dark Souls series case, like they'll actually have like new enemy placement or they'll add like new like abilities for some of the enemies, so it kind of like changes things up for you. But like for the most part, it's not always the case, and you're kind of just like new game plus is basically you blazing through it because you're like in god mode.
Yeah, or if it's a case like Chrono Trigger where you get like the sweet, you can just like keep replaying through getting like all the sweet armor and weapons, and like by the time like eventually you'll have all of them for all the characters, or like Resident Evil 4 or 5, it's like I have an infinite rocket launcher, mother effers, and just like psh, 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 just like blow through the game. It's like ha 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 ha, you're not stuffing me, mother effers. Ha ha ha. Sorry, but that's how I feel.
Actually, the same thing happened in 5, didn't it? Because you can get like
I had an
infinite shotgun or something in 5, and I was like, well, I pretty much is just going to murder everything, because anything that comes within, like, 3 feet of me is going to explode. So, yeah.
I definitely think that the people that play a game for, like, the completionist aspect of, like, I got to get everything, or I got to complete everything, or I got to do it all, finish, see it all, are in the minority for sure.
Yeah. And I don't think you really, like, see it all by doing some of the stuff, because really sometimes it's just like out of the way, like you're doing something like you would never know to be doing, like it was like, it's like, why am I doing this, why am I like going to this uncharted island in the middle of nowhere to go touch this statue that's going to unlock this NPC that's going to let me it's like this chain of events where it's like, okay, I would never like have done this, like this doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
so like,
it's like for some people add value, but for most it wouldn't. It's like for me, I'd like just prefer like another mode, like Batman. It's like I'm not going to go through and get all those other trophies. However, I will play through every predator room and choke everybody out and beat up all the dudes in combat rooms because yeah, that's my jam.
New game plus, so, 'cause I love it so much. I guess related to that, then, like since those people are in the minority, would it make sense? Like, should developers just not make that stuff? Because it costs money to make everything.
Well, yeah, but and I mean, so there are some people who tech was saying, there's people like Zephyr out there that it's like, for some reason, have like this compulsion to, you know, get every single thing for whatever reason, no matter how tedious it is or how much he complains about it, like he'll still do it. Anyway. It's like exactly. Why?
He would still be able to finish the games. They would just like have less stuff in them.
Yeah, but then
be cheaper, presumably. And
then, knowing him, he'll probably still complain about that, because he's like, well, where's all my extra content and stuff that I was supposed to have, then complain about and hate on and everything, because he does this like all the time. Like, he'll talk about how he had to do all these nonsensical things to like get like special achievements and stuff, but then it's like, well, you didn't actually have to do it, so you kind of just, like, you punished yourself. It wasn't like the developer didn't hold a gun to your head and say, hey, you have to do this. So, I mean, it's kind of weird, because, like, I've seen so much, I think it was, like, I've seen, like, the trophy list for, I think it was, like, one of the more recent Metal Gears or something, and I saw it, and I was like, who in their right mind would do any of these things? Like who, just like who. So I feel like for people like, they're like him, I guess, who like to punish themselves, they would still do it, but I don't know. Sometimes it's just like, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth the trouble.
Yeah, it also seems like if you don't do that, it just like the standard or the norm is just like really lacking and fickle compared to games the way like you remember them for me anyway. Because it's just like, I remember them, like, there's like, oh, this is all this cool unlockable stuff to go back and get, or these sweet extra costumes. And like, if games didn't have that, it'd just be like, oh, why don't we have that anymore? Like, what's up with that? Like, just, you guys are charging me this much money for these games. It's like more expensive and there's just not as much in them. It feels like I don't agree with this.
So you feel like they have to have it as sort of a legacy, a thing. They used to have it, so you have to have it now. And like, we're still paying the same money.
I think just like some games just implement it better, or just like it's not as, or just like there's a certain way where I like feel like it's definitely a value thing. But like for me, it's like, if certain ways it's done, it's just not worth the trouble. there's a balance there.
Well, it was funny because like, so you're mentioning the Infinite Rocket Launcher, and I was like, I sort of got a thrill out of that. I was like, oh man, I want to go get that now. Did you always play games like this where it was just like, okay, you know, one and done, and if the other stuff is just too much, then I'm not going to play it? Or were you more, I think I would describe it as old school. Like, I think people used to play games till there was nothing left to see and nothing left to do.
I think that's just a byproduct of me having less time to play games now.
I think that's what it is too. Cause it's like, as you get busier with life and everything, it's like, as much as you would love to do these things, it's like, sometimes you just can't. Otherwise it will just take forever. I mean, a lot of times when I play games though, it's like, I'll inevitably do like all of this stuff anyway by accident. So it's like usually not that, because like games like, for instance, like I guess like Final Fantasy 13, which I actually almost came close to platinuming without realizing it, because I was missing like two trophies, I think. Oh, yeah. But it's like, because it's like, you, it's like I do things, like I'll just be doing stuff, like I'd be like, well, this is just how I normally play stuff, and then I'll just be getting, I guess I'll be just unlocking stuff without realizing it. But it's not like something I feel like the need to do. It's just like I just happen to just do it sometimes. So I guess it kind of just depends.
Yeah, I guess it's funny because I think both of you play games to a greater level of completion than I usually do. But I'm the one sitting here. It's like, yeah, I want to play all of Assassin's Creed 4 and get everything. On a more general level, like, just, you know, from what you hear, it does seem like we know less about games, right? Like, we just know a little bit about every game, and then, yeah, it's that thing that I'm always saying. Once a game comes out, you never hear about it again, unless they're releasing new DLC, or they're, you know, patches or whatever.
Actually, it's funny you said that, because, like, when I was playing Need for Speed today, they had a new mode for, Drag Races. It's like, oh, they brought Drag Races back from Underground. I was like, oh, and I got to play one. It's awesome. And I was like, oh man, I didn't even know this was in the game. That's weird.
See, that's how it is now.
Because no one was talking about it.
Even a big thing like Need for Speed, releasing something like that. I mean, I guess Need for Speed isn't as big as it was. And so you probably would only hear about that on the Need for Speed blog if you're following the Need for Speed blog. Because I read, you know, lots of news sites, and I didn't see anything about that.
I think, like, something they should implement is on, like, PSN, like, when you're, like, when, like, there's a patch that goes out for, like, a game that, like, automatically downloads, it should, like, tell you what it is adding to the game. Because, like, there's so many updates where it's like, oh, only an update, whatever. I have no idea what they're adding. Like, in GS5, I added so many things post-launch as far as, like, getting you more currency and resources without having to just keep your PS4 on all the time and have 80 hours, like, taking those on his gameplay file. So, yeah, have fun with that.
So, do you think, hypothetically, like, if you had the time, would you be playing games to, like, very high degrees of completion, or would you still sort of play it the way that you do now? Taking into account, like, game, you know, nothing changes. Like, game releases still come out at the rate that they do, but you have infinite time. You will live forever.
Oh, my.
I guess it probably would, just because I still have, it's like I look at my, like, games on my PS4, and they're, like, still installed. I'm like, Tekken, you're never going to play this game again. Just delete it. But then, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, but there's some side quests that's, like, I kind of want to go back and do just to get them all and get the trophy. It's like, no, Tekken, don't do it. You don't need to. But it's like, oh, I don't have the time. It's like, yeah, then just delete it. But it's like, no, I can't. It's like, I feel so conflicted.
What if I do want to go back?
Yeah. Like, I have an internal conflict of,
like, I do that sometimes too, where I'm like, I really don't need to save file, but then it's like, well, what if I do want to go back later, and, you know, just in case.
Unless it's like, something so, like super linear, like Order 1886, which I did delete, because I was like, well, I'm never going back to this, and I played it, so there's no reason to keep it on here, because there's nothing else to do. By Order 1886, and I deleted it, so, yeah.
I would probably still just play them to the same degree I do now. I mean, I play mostly for enjoyment, and it's like, I know how I enjoy games, so I'm not gonna, so I still probably wouldn't just go out of my way to, torture you know, yourself, quote unquote, complete a game. So I'd be like, yeah, let me just cut myself 20,000 times. I love the pain. I love it. So, yeah. I would probably just play how I usually play. Just enjoy what I do discover, and, you know, and just keep it that way.
Actually, that's pretty funny, because I'm thinking about Mass Effect now, because it's like, I didn't really need to play that many times with every single class. But it's like, I guess, like, there's a certain game for every person where it's like, once you like it, you will just play it that much. If you like it that much, like, even if there aren't any unlockables or extras, it's just like, you just gotta play it. It's just like, oh, it's so good. So, yeah, it depends on the game, I guess, but for the most part, if I had enough time, I probably would.
Crazy. I would not have thought that I would be spending so much time in an Assassin's Creed game after playing Assassin's Creed 1. Because that was terrible. But man, it's got me. Like, I put in Unity, and there's a program called Assassin's Creed Initiates, which basically links your progress in all the Assassin's Creed games into one profile. And I was looking at it, I was like, man, I want to, like, do everything.
It's a trap.
Sounds awful.
Man, get me. All right. I guess the middle segment was Traptical Asks, because I asked a lot of questions, and I think I heard some interesting stuff, so that was very cool.
Maybe he'll remember the first question next week, and we use that one.
Yeah. Whatever the first... No, it was like a simple throwaway question, I think, which is why my brain threw it away without asking my permission.
He's like, yeah, he doesn't really need this. It's fine.
So, on to the news then. We'll do some little news here first. Sony and GameStop are apparently going to start showcasing PlayStation VR demo units in GameStop starting in June. This was given at a... what's his name? John Kohler, Vice President of Marketing at Sony Interactive Entertainment now. He gave a presentation to GameStop executives and investors last Thursday. And GameStop already has, like, HTC Vive demos in 10 stores across the country, but it seems like they're hedging their bets on PlayStation VR. So, look for that soon, a couple months. You know, you go watch a summer movie and then go to GameStop and play VR. Woohoo! Microsoft discontinues the Xbox 360.
Yay!
It's been 10 years and 5 months since it first came out. And they have stopped production. And I guess that's all there is to say about that. You can now play 360 games on Xbox One, so that's...
Which might likely be the reason that they did that. So they can still
buy it. stop buying 360 to play 360 games. We will hopefully have them playable on Xbox One. There was a post on Capcom's community website that says the April update of the game will feature Guile is the next character.
Sonic Boom.
You will... Have you spent any of your fight money?
Nope.
Yeah. I guess the store is not set up yet.
Yeah.
So not only was Axel free, Guile will...
It's set up, it's just like until they implement it to where you have to use the Zinni or like the actual money currency, it's like they're not going to charge you for it.
Yeah.
That's nice of them. Or lazy.
So Guile, Well, it's sort of weird because they did sell a season pass, and that was supposed to give you free access to the characters.
so basically, now,
if you don't have the season pass, you can still use the characters. It's great.
So far, the first two have been free. Although, I guess with the season pass, you do get the Guile's stage, the airport, the airbase. Yeah, Air Force Base. The classic Air Force Base stage. You get that for free. And you also get one of Guile's costumes for free if you have a season pass. What is it called? The not default one. His battle costume, it says.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I have no idea.
Not his not default one.
I played Axel for the first time today. It was like, it was neat. Because I forgot that when they release new characters, they're also adding, like...
Story mode.
Story mode.
Or...
Such as it is. With
each of them. Or the launch story mode, that's not the story mode that will be added for the free update in summer. Cinematic story mode or whatever.
So, that was sort of cool. Did you play Axel's?
No, I didn't.
It's, like, so nonsensical.
So, like, what's the point of the season pass? Because, like, everything is like, unlockable, right?
You can earn everything in the game. Season pass is, like, this is the first season pass that is basically the thing that EA sells separately with all their games. I think they call them time saver packs. Mm. So you can buy a season pass for Battlefield 4, but it doesn't come with any of the time savers. The time savers are for those people who really want to spend lots more money and just don't have the time. Like the extra in-game content that we were just talking about. You can just buy some of that stuff these days.
You can even buy it unlocked already. And it's like, yep, I totally did this, guys. Even
kind of like in Destiny. Oh, I said it. Oh, I feel terrible now. I'm going to cut my tongue out. Sure. Great.
The Air Force Base will cost 70,000 fight money.
Oh, my. How much fight money does one get from, like, a fight?
I think, like, 50 or 60. If you win.
Yeah, it's very little.
50 or 60,000, I'm hoping, because otherwise... That would take forever.
And 40,000 for the alternate costume.
Wow.
Or season pass, which I believe is $20 for everything.
You better get like a new Sonic Boom attack or something. Like it better be like magic.
He does have new Sonic Boom attacks. It's difficult to describe. They put up a trailer, so go watch that. It's Guile. He's back.
Flash kick.
That too.
I don't think I actually like Guile in any of the games.
I could never play as him. Because I can't do the charge things well.
I don't, because he's an effing turtle charge character, and he's effing annoying to fight against an effing hay charge character.
Not that I can do the, quarter circle motions very well either. Anyway.
The charge stuff, because all his moves, I think, are like charges, like for his specials. So...
Speaking of Destiny, despite all the issues Tekken has had with it, game seems to be relatively free of, like, hackers and glitching and
Division. Lots of that stuff.
Yeah, because apparently the Division is super bad right now.
I saw something about, like, unlimited damage or something weird before we started.
Pretty much. There's, like, I guess there's some perk on the gun. And if you do a whole bunch of convoluted, I have no idea how they figured it out things, it gives rise to this exploit where, there are videos of some guy killing the game's toughest boss in the raid, with two shots, in two shots. So, that's like if Oryx popped up and then you just shot him in the face and he died.
That was quick. Basically.
Which is really terrible. Like, if you think about Destiny, the only time you would really have to deal with hackers and glitchers and stuff would be in the Crucible.
Trials of Osiris.
Yeah, Trials of Osiris is the only place where it would really matter. And it doesn't really, like, I've never heard anyone be up in arms about it. Like, there were a few times where I was like, oh, a connection stuff, lag switcher or whatever, but it wasn't a huge deal. This is like, all the best stuff is in the dark zone. And who do you have to face in the dark zone?
Other people.
People who are like super-powered.
Super-powered, yeah. Illegitimate means. Like, it's cool, guys. I could do infinite damage. So, you know, I'm invincible because I can lift at you and you would melt. So,
yeah. Ubisoft said something like, okay, they threatened to punish people who were using exploits. But then apparently some of the exploiters were like, no, we had to do it because other people were doing it and we needed to stay competitive. So you can't do that to us. And Ubisoft was like, oh, actually, we have no means of punishing anyone, so nothing to worry about right now.
Don't worry, guys. We're just bluffing. We weren't going to bet you all.
You called our bluff.
No. But, yeah, it sounds pretty bad. I've never been to the Dark Zone, so I don't know what kind of hell people are going through in there.
At least they didn't jump ship to Division. Oh, sorry, gamer. Not sorry.
That would be terrible, though. It's like, because the Dark Zone is the one where it's like people work together or like can betray you, right?
Yeah.
That whole nonsense. So it's like, you could just be going along one time without even realizing this person is like a super player, and then you get to the end and you're like, LOLs, headshot, you're dead. So I feel like that would not be fun. That would
not be fun. Not even headshot. They shoot you in the knee and you die.
I just about to say, it's like I grazed you with my bullet, and like it bounced off a wall and it killed you. So you're welcome. Yeah, that would be kind of trolly. At least with Dark Souls, you kind of know it's coming because, like, the purple phantoms can turn on you at any time. So it's like you're always watching them. But it's like Dark Zone. It's like, I don't know, man. You seem like you were helping me this whole time, but now you're not helping me because you have that look in your eye. You're like a bad Taylor Swift song. You're in trouble the moment you walked in. So it's like, yeah. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm kind of glad I didn't pick up the Division. I mean, I played the beta and I was not impressed, so I didn't have to worry about that anyway. But I was like, it just sounds like it's
the single player stuff.
So I'm kind of glad I didn't.
So yeah, that's it'll be interesting to see how they fix that.
Won't. Everybody called their bluff, so they're like,
they did call their bluff.
We know they can't do anything now, guys. We know it. Ubisoft is powerless against us. Infinite power for everybody.
Unlimited power.
It's gonna be like chaos. It's gonna be utter chaos in that game. Although that kind of adds like maybe that actually kind of adds like a slight degree of like excitement to like the Dark Zone though, because it's like it probably at a certain point like gets repetitive or whatever, but then it's like now you have that element of danger now. It's like, I don't know, man. He might have unlimited power. I might have unlimited power. He doesn't know. So then it's just like, yeah, it can just be just the whole utter chaos.
I'm maxed out, and I have really good gear, but there are apex predators out here.
Basically.
Would that be cool in Destiny? Like, if it were, you know, not other players, but, like, if there were just random encounters with super powerful bosses.
Like, Orcs just comes out of the middle of a patrol. It's like, surprise, guys.
You're on Earth.
You.
On the coast, and Orcs just... Oh. Like, rises out the sea.
It's in the war set from Oryx. Like, wait, what? I'm sorry, I don't think that's
That would be exciting, actually. And then, it'd be cool, because it's a public space, and there could be, like...
8 guardians.
How many guardians out there?
8-player melee.
It's kind of what happened with the Taken lieutenant, or not the... whatever they were called.
Oh, yeah.
Like, summon them after the taking out the... whatever they were. It's like, oh, you guys want a boss fight? Here you go.
Yeah. Okay, enough Destiny. Moving on. You remember that game Song of the Deep?
No, I think it's called?
Coming from Insomniac. Oh, okay, and
yeah,
published
that one.
By GameStop.
The underwater one, yeah.
And we were like, GameStop is going to publish stuff. What does this mean? Well... maybe we get a look at what it means, because today, and by that I mean 2 days ago, they announced a publishing label called Game Trust. And it's not just Insomniac. They've also signed up Ready at Dawn, Tequila Works, and Frozen Byte, who made the Trine series. And they say, we do not involve ourselves in the creative process because at the end of the day, that is what our developer partners are passionate about. By allowing developers to fully focus on their craft, Game Trust can focus on all other aspects of bringing a new IP to market.
I.e. making it exclusive to GameStop and you have
leveraging our deep expertise and retail channel leadership to support each developer and connect their game with a broader global audience. Uh-huh. Well, so what you were saying is, no, it's actually not going to be exclusive to GameStop. They are going to sell their games through GameStop, obviously, but also Steam, Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, eShop, and other things.
Yes, but notice that all these things are digital stuff.
Yeah, and notice what they say about what Game Trust brings to the table. Leveraging our deep expertise and retail channel.
I'm pretty sure we already mentioned this stuff the last time we talked about this. I'm like, hey guys, you guys want to pre-order this sweet published by GameStop game that we're going to push on you?
But it was speculation then. Now they're saying it to our faces and we're sort of like, we're kind of thinking, oh, it's fine. Wait a minute. It's how it's I like, read this thing.
It's money, my dear boy. Money.
It's like, well, I was just I didn't actually think they were going to do it. And then it's like, oh, this is the world we live in. Well, thanks, GameStop.
That's what you get for giving GameStop the benefit of the doubt. That was your first mistake.
I think it's also funny that they called it Game Trust.
Yeah. I know. I almost laughed when I heard it. I was like, yeah. Trust.
That is really funny.
Trust you to take my money.
And then finally, and this is going to lead to discussion, so that's why it's finally.
Ooh.
That PS4K, I think it's like, apparently it's really real. And that's we know this real. Because at GDC, I guess they're sort of just like discussing it with people. And now they're sending out spec sheets to people, to developers, to tell them, this is how you develop PlayStation 4 games now. Because there is another console, which we are apparently codenamed Neo, is also going to exist. And your games need to be able to work on both. The difference being, Neo games have to, there can be no Neo exclusive games, but there are guidelines for making, sort of like the minimum requirement of Neo games, but they also have to work on PS4. And I guess the Neo is just going to be a sort of performance upgraded version of the PS4.
Mm.
And this is all like on an official like spec sheet that they're sending out to developers to tell them. So for example, this is the list of requirements. DualShock 4 has to remain the primary controller. 1080p is a mandatory minimum display resolution on Neo. You can't segregate the online community for the two consoles, so you can't have like a Neo-only version and a PS4-only version.
Sorry, Bungie.
Save data has to be the same and cross-platform. And forward compatibility patches are for old games only. So you can have Neo features patched in, but you can't, like, you have to have released your game already, like today.
So basically what they're telling them is that you can't half-ass your releases. You have to actually put in the effort. And then...
Well, yeah. So what do we... Okay, like originally it was all speculation. Now I guess it's real.
I don't know, man. This is a bit problematic. Because I don't want to play a game on PS4 and then like feel like I'm not getting the like most awesome
ultimate experience.
Yeah.
It's possible that this is more of like a stopgap for like the PS5, and this is like their testing bed, and they're like, okay, So we're going to have to make a console that's more awesome than our current one. So we need something to kind of like play around with to make sure developers can actually handle this. But at the same time, still support our current generation because, you know, that's our bread and butter. Because, I mean, based on the requirements, it doesn't seem like they really intend on, like, you know, like kicking out their PS4-based people. And they're just like, sorry, you didn't get, like, the upgraded version, so no Xenoblade Chronicles on my console for you kind of thing. So, I mean, we at least have that comfort. But, I mean, I still stand by, like, not buying it unless there's, like, a trade-in credit where I only have to spend, like, $5 to upgrade to it, then it's not happening because I'm not spending hundreds of dollars on another console. So,
well, the rumor, like, Giant Bomb was the site that broke this story, and I go to Eurogamer for, like, all of my tech analysis stuff because they have Digital Foundry. And so there is like, there are very detailed write-ups on Eurogamer. And I guess the difference is if you have a 1080p screen only, like, I guess, you know, 4K is like their focus of Neo, but if you only have 1080p, you'll get higher frame rates, more stable frame rates, graphics will be like higher fidelity and maybe even additional graphical features.
What? That's kind of weird that it's, like, more optimized on the lower end.
Well, it would have to be, technically. It's like, if they're going to still do it, like, low-end specs, then it's like, what's the point?
Like, they can barely get 1080p games to work, so it's like, why would I want to risk it with the 4K
yeah, like, why would you bother?
Yeah, basically.
Last gen all over again. Everything was 720. Or most
it's like, hey, guys,
barely anything was 1080.
That's going to be like 480p on your 4K. It's like, well, what was the point of this? What was the point of this? So
I guess in retrospect, it's just, you know, saving me money from not having to buy it. And I could just wait until they do all their shenanigans this gen and have a sweet PS5 next gen.
Just let them get it out of their system, basically.
The other part of it was like, for some reason, I totally forgot what I was saying. That it would be $399 and out. Like, games that support it will be coming out in the fall. And so the theory is it will also be coming out around then. Although maybe not, because VR is coming out at that point, and it would be sort of weird to release a new console and something that you're calling a new console at the same time.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, just, like, I feel like those two things aren't necessarily, like, how do I put this? Like, I feel like there is a demographic for both of these things, and then there's people like Gamer where this exists for them regardless. So it's like, there are people who are out there and they're like, okay, VR or bust kind of thing, so they're gonna get VR, but then there's people who are like, graphics are bust, and they're like, okay, I'm going to get this 4K because I need everything to look absolutely amazeballs when I play it. And they don't necessarily need both, or maybe they do. And they're like, you know what? This new PS4 can super run our VR, and it is like your optimal experience for everything, Sony, and you would love it, and just buy our entertainment system while you're at it, and our TVs, and our everything. So it's like a whole package deal. So it's like
or even I'm like Gamer.
are you throwing like the VR argument of like, well, I could buy a sweet VR PC, but then I have to buy the hardware, and the price of those is going to be more than this thing. So
that's true. Like, you could still buy a Neo and a VR,
but then you're gonna need a 4K TV, and that could put you over budget. Just saying.
Well, then again, I mean, only because it's like, I think it's because it's relatively new in terms of, because like before when like HD TVs first came out, they were like ridiculously expensive, and now you can get like a 55 inch for like $300 or something, give that. So it's like, it's like right now it might seem like, okay, yeah, this is a lot of money, but I feel like once like 4K content and stuff becomes more the norm, it'll just be like, okay, yeah, this, you could just get this for whatever. And it's like, you can, everybody can have a 4K TV everywhere. So
yeah, I see this more beneficial to me just because, like, after seeing the whole Nintendo thing of like, oh, we totally don't have any issues developing HD games, and like, yeah, that wasn't true. And like, looking at, like, every game I've been looking forward to this year and getting effing delayed of like, oh man, AAA, what the F, you guys dropped the ball, man. Thanks a lot, dudes. I have, like, no confidence now in developers. It's great.
So it's making, like, games is hard.
Letting them get their kinks out of their terrible armor that they're wearing when they go to make games, it's going to be great for me when I can look forward to 4K games next gen and not having them be all delayed every effing time. Arkham Knight, I'm looking at you. Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm looking at you. Deus Ex Human,
he's looking at you too.
Mankind Divided, I'm looking at you. All you effers out there.
Mirror's Edge,
Watch Dogs, what the too. F, you ruined my launch. Thanks a lot. You know what you did. Yeah, Mirror's Edge, you too. Effers. F them.
Twilight Princess. Just, everybody.
Drop the ball. It's like, oh, we're going to make games and develop them because, oh, I wasn't ready. Whatever. Games are hard to make. Games are hard to make. Well, geez, guys. You've had a lot of effing practice. What the F?
they've had decades at this point. But it's like, it's kind of hilarious that, like, that all three companies had, like, rumored console stuff this year, and, like, none of them even, like, bothered to try to deny it. And then it's like, eventually, it's like, you know what, guys? It's happening. It's happening, guys. Like, we can't even, it's like, we're not even going to, like, lie. This is all happening. Because, like, Microsoft didn't deny their stuff, and then PlayStation didn't deny theirs, and then this NX thing wasn't denied, and it's just like, yep, this is all happening. This is all happening, guys. So E3 is going to be fun. Because money, my dear boy.
I suppose
money.
People do think hardware is the most exciting thing at E3. Which is ridiculous to me, but whatever.
I'm more of a software person, because it's like, for me, I don't usually, like, upgrade immediately anyway, so I'm kind of like more like, yay, what games are you coming out with, though? Because there's still so many games left to come out.
Yeah, I'm kind of, after getting burned these last 24 months of, like, delay, it's like, show me a game either effer, or I could care less about your effing hardware, go for yourself.
Although I'm wondering if that's why some of the, like, PS4 games that were, like, announced last year weren't really given, like, release windows, because they were like, well, we might be coming out with this new console, so maybe you want to hold back a little bit just in case Horizon Zero Dawn, my robot dinosaur.
Well, so what do you think this does? Like, it's going to be really hard to sell this thing.
I don't know, dude. I don't know,
dude.
At
the same time,
on one hand, it's like, I don't think that's true because of, like, the world we would live in now. I would hope that people are more technologically inclined to, like, know about these things. But then it's like, I live in America, and Americans aren't always that smart all the time. It could be a bit of a headache.
So it's like,
just like you, of like, is it controller? Is it a, what's the thing? Do I just buy a controller and I play it, hook it up to my Wii U? It's just a gamepad, right? It's not a console. And that whole mess. Ugh.
Well, I mean, because the problem is, you know, they can't go to E3 and be like, oh, here's, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, and it looks way better than it did before, and then at the end of that say, yep, it was running on our new PlayStation 4, so all you people who bought PlayStation 4s since we showed Horizon Zero Dawn,
LOLs.
You better, you know, like, I'm sorry, but we wanted more power. And
oh, they could do that, it would just take away all the goodwill of the last 36 months that they've built up ever since, like, Microsoft dropped the ball of, like, TV sports dudes, TV sports bros, yeah.
Some people will be like, wait a minute, so basically you, like, lied to my face, is what you're telling me? It's like, all of this?
I knew it all along. Sony was going to turn on us. It only took...
Well, just like,
they're just waiting.
No, you can
they're
still buy it. You can still play it. It just won't look like this.
Oh, is that all?
We're just going to be totally honest about it, you know? It's like, oh, he can buy it. You don't need to, but it'll look really more awesome if you do, so...
And I guess, in a sense, like, hasn't PC gaming kind of been like that forever? They give you the minimum spec and the recommended spec. And obviously, when they have trailers or whatever, it's the recommended spec.
The highest setting. So it's going to be like, here's what you would love for it to look like, but here's what it's actually going to look like when you play it. And they show, like, a pixelated version.
On your crap PC.
It's like an SNES game or something. It's like, huh, this looks
so... Why doesn't it look like what you showed me? Does your PC cost $5,000? No? No? Oh, well, that's why.
Maybe you should have thought about that when you invested in your crap hole of a PC. It's like, oh, well then. Excuse me.
I mean, again, not defending it, but like, isn't this?
But that's why people gravitate towards console travel, like, because of that convenience of like, I just got to buy the console for like this hundreds of dollars versus the video card and the RAM and the mouse or monitor and like all the other crap. Whatever. On top of that. And then, like, every however many months, oh, need a new video card, oh, gotta upgrade memory, gotta do this, gotta do that, oh, hundreds of dollars, down the tubes, like, no, that's why I'm not a PC gamer.
I think that's what my biggest issue, my main issue is with these, like, upgradable generation, is because now it's like, if it does become more like, you know, PC, it's like, that's gonna screw me over. Cause like, the reason I'm not a PC gamer is because I can avoid all of that. It's like, the consoles come, you get your package deal, and it's like, you're good. You just put in a disc and you're good. I don't have to like, look at specs or, you know, find recommended settings and all this crap. It's like, everything is just already made for me. It's like, yeah. I don't even have to, like, no effort. So
this is turning into a nightmare scenario of the phone model that I think they want it to be, of like, oh, we'll just put one out every year and they'll buy it because gamers. So, yeah.
Basically.
Money, like, dude. Money.
Money. Put on my monocle. But,
wasteful.
I'm not, like, I'm really not looking for, like, I want to give them all the benefit of the doubt, and I want them to just be like, okay, we're only doing this, like, as a halfway segment for, you know, the next gen, because we're testing this. We want, like, these new super consoles that when they come out, so that way you don't have to worry about a generation after that. But then I'm like, they actually just want money. So it's not like,
corporations are not benevolent creatures that come from the sky. Descending with rainbows and unicorns and smiley faces.
Is this going to make more money, you think?
Cheeseburgers and all this other stuff. It's like, I feel like it's just, I'm worried. I'm worried this is going
to... Somebody somewhere made a spreadsheet and they're like, profit deeds. And then, yeah, that's how that happened.
It's like this money line is going up.
Because if you think about it, like, out of us four, including Gamer, only two of us are interested in it and the other two aren't. So you bought PS4s, and like, you know, the only way they would make more money from this is if people who have PS4s are buying a PS4K or a Neo or whatever, and only two of us want it, so I guess that's a little bit more money. The other thing, though, is like,
if you could just get like half the people, like 22 million PS4s,
it's true. Because it's the fastest selling console of all time, so it's like, well, if you could just get half adoption rate, 50% of like a effing lot of people. Dudes, profit dudes. And that's probably what it is. Thanks a lot, Tropical. Thanks a lot. 50%.
Like, according to this
graph. The other thing is, though, like, who don't have PlayStation 4s, like, they could have bought one tomorrow, and now they're not going to.
Although, that still means that that's also the opportunity for even larger install bits, because now it's like, well, now you have people who are curious, and they're, like, going to be watching you, because they're like, well, they might be, so maybe I should save the money for that. And then it's like, it's just gonna be a waterfall effect, and then it's just going to be like, yep. I don't like
it. And see, like, that's the situation we had talked about before, where it's like, you don't know when the new hardware is coming. So essentially it becomes sort of this waiting game. Like, you wait until the game you want comes out, and then you buy whatever hardware exists at that time that is the best one.
Because that's what's going to end up being the case if this continues.
This is giving me a headache. Because it's like, now games come out all the effing time, so it's like, it's never going to stop. This is the end. I'm calling it now. This is it. RPG was right the whole time. End of times. The crash is coming. I believe. It's over, dudes. I'm done.
Game over.
Drama is like the last game I'll ever play, and I'll be happy, but whatever. Like, after that, The crash is imminent. I can feel it. I can already feel it. I can already see it after this conversation. I can sense it. I can sense it. My gamer intuition is like, it's over. It's over, dudes. It's over. Just game over, man. Game over. Just close it up. Go away. Walk home. That's it. They're just gonna F us in the B. They're gonna F us all in the B. And yep. Money. Oh.
I'm not looking forward to this. Cause it's like, now I am gonna be like very hesitant to like, I mean, I already waited to upgrade now, but now it's going to be like, okay, now I'm really going to be waiting, because it's like,
yeah.
I'll just wait until my next, like super anticipation game comes out, and then I'll buy one. But it's like, now I can't even, like, play the, like, because, I mean, at least before when I when I did eventually get a console was because it's like I can play like online games with you guys or whatever. But now it's like, okay, now I'm not even going to be doing that because it's like, well, there might be some new upgradable version coming out next year or something. It's like, I should probably just wait until whatever game comes out. So it's like, yeah, it's going to be a mess.
Because like, you know, in the past generation, they've talked about how there aren't really system seller games anymore in the sense that people don't wait for just one game, or, you know, there isn't one game that makes a person buy a console. It's usually a whole bunch of games that have come out for the console and, you know, one in particular that they really want. And then it's like, okay, you know, it has that game and all this other stuff. That's why I buy it. But if it becomes, you know, like, for example, if RPG didn't have a PS4 and he's just waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3. So in 4 years, like, he won't. From now, he doesn't have a console because he's sitting there waiting for the most upgraded version to come out around the time or when Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out.
Or, like, right after it, because I'll probably just buy the game first and they're like, oh, I'll wait for whichever one can play it. I'll just wait for the console and they can play it. It's fine.
So it's like, you know, he has bought a ton of games in the first part of this year, and none of that would have happened because of this hopefully not real, but possibly real new console paradigm.
Yep. So everyone start panicking. It's happening. It's happening. Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your wallets, because they're taking everybody. Taking everybody. Huh.
That's a really crazy thought. Cause like, yeah, is it money? Cause the simple answer is probably, but for who?
What else would it be, Tropical?
Does it damage?
What else would it be? It's a multinational corporation. That's all they have to care about. They're still the corporations that only care about is money. And F you and the B and taking your money. That's it. It's over, man.
I mean, exactly. Like, corporations only care about making money, but they don't always make the right decisions about getting that money. Like, that's why companies fail.
Yeah, but they're not looking at that. They're looking at the short-term thing, and they're like...
But then, guys, I just envisioned it. There's gonna be, like, some savior console of, like, we're gonna take that, whatever. It's like, we're not gonna be on, like, everybody else, and then, like, developers are gonna flock to them and be like, we don't care about the big three anymore, and it'll be this revolution, and then, like, yeah, they'd be like, F you guys, and, like, we can just make games on this and not have to worry about you screwing over the customers, because, yeah, we like our users, and we don't like to F them in the B all the time, so we're sticking with these guys. F you guys. Yeah. You're gonna have to be stuck in the first party. It'll be like this crazy console where, like, you like have these like total like walled gardens of like amazing first party games you can only buy if you're getting these consoles every year. And it's like, no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm just sticking with my third parties. But then they keep getting delayed. It's like, why is this happening to me? It's gonna be terrible.
It is. It is.
So yeah, I don't know how it's gonna turn out. Sounds pretty bad. And that is the news. I don't have anything to, you know, like a fun one to add on to that. I'm sorry.
Please be excited.
It was awesome. Just doom and gloom.
Ugh, terrible.
Basically.
Well, Tropical, 50%, so it's like, Sony's good for like a while. It's like, Microsoft's like, we don't care, we have that universal Windows software or whatever, we can just put on PC and Xbox One and like keep making Xbox Ones that are like, you know, incrementally better. Whatever, people still buy it, doesn't matter, because it's software at the end of the day, so it's universally across the three, all of them, so yeah, we're good. And Nintendo, who knows? Who knows if they'll make it? They probably won't, because, you know, it'll be like, you know, the casualty of all this ridiculousness that you effers all did, and it's like, oh yeah, the nice guys got bit, and they're all like, we're out of the console business, we're gonna make handhelds, and then like they turn into a phone, and it's like crappy casual crap, and it's like
turn into a phone,
terrible mobile games. Philip is like goes there, and it's like, why didn't it? What happened to you? Oh, it'll be a sad day. It'll be like, I completely renounce Nintendo. I'm no longer a fan at all of them, and sell all my games. And Nintendo's like, I can't even look at them. I look at them and get sick. And it just makes me sick in my soul. And I'm just like, ugh, why did it do? Why? It'll be sad, yeah. It'll be, yeah. It's like, RPG was right. RPG was right. I don't want to believe all these years. If RPG was right. Like, there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, I gotta build a time machine. Let's do this. And then we're gonna go back in time. We're gonna go back in time and try to save the gaming industry. And be like, alright, you effers in your 50% plan. Which one of you is it? And then, yeah, I'm going to yell Jack Bauer style and, like, do that thing I always want to do in those virtual VR games. I was like, yeah, I played a couple in the past of, like, where I could interrogate somebody in VR, and now I get to take it on you. Now, who is it? Who did it? Whose 50% plan is it? I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to save the future. Now speak. I don't speak Japanese. Speak English.
Nice premise for a video game, actually. Someone get on that. Someone get on that.
Oh, actually, I do have some happy stuff to end on. Episode 3 of Michonne, The Walking Dead miniseries, comes out next week.
Yeah.
Yay! The Walking Dead, the show where everyone dies that you love. Happy news.
Did you play episode 2 already?
Yeah.
Okay. Yay! All caught up.
Okay, so yeah. I guess we can sign off now. After the doom and gloom party that we just had.
Yep.
The infinite.
Check us out. Aimlesspodcast.com. It is our new website, and you can download slightly edited versions of the podcasts in case you have 10 minutes less time than other people do. Otherwise, you can watch that one on YouTube, which is here, and watch it live on Wednesday nights, because, I don't know, be most up to date and stuff like that. And then, yeah, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Kind of dead right now, but if you follow us, I promise we'll post something.
He's lying. He's lying, guys. He's like Sony. He's a liar. He's a liar.
Oh, you know, Nolan Bushnell followed our Amos podcast Twitter. Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Twitter guy. No way. Why is he following me? I'm just a nobody. Whatever.
I think it's because you created the podcast. Because he only followed the podcast and you, apparently. RPG, did he follow you?
I don't know who you're talking about, so
nope.
I guess not.
So yeah. Hi! Thank you! for everything.
But who are you talking about though, for realsies?
He, founded Atari.
Oh, the founder of Atari, you said. Okay, I was like, who?
And like Chuck E. Cheese and stuff.
That's random.
He made Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Yeah.
Or did he just own it?
He made that too.
And now, I think he has for a while he had this company, Winx, which was like tabletop digital games for like bars and stuff, or like educational something. I don't know. And now he's doing other stuff because that's what he does. He does lots of different stuff. It's cool.
Maybe he's interested in what we said about Atari stuff. He's like, I gotta watch these guys. Watch them. I'll trust them. I'll trust them. And he's right not to.
Podcast.com. Anything to say before we start off RPG?
Stand by me.
Oh man, alright, so yeah. When the Dark Age of Gaming happens, and there are no more consoles, it's okay, because Tekken's got his backlog, so I'm ready, just like Sarah Connor was ready. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna train you, John. You didn't know what's coming, but yeah, we know what's coming on Aimless. I'll go back in time, and I'll save it, and I'll fix it all, but you know, until that day. Tekken's ready, and he's got his backlog, so, you know. Yeah, believe in Tekken, because he'll save us all, and the gaming industry will not be doomed, hopefully. But yeah, that was this episode of Aimless Babble Z. Sorry to, like, go super dark there at the end, but, you know, it's totally happening, so be ready. Don't believe me, but I'm gonna keep on with it every week.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
The crash is coming! The crash is
coming! Oh, man.
But yeah. And spell Z. You know, check us out, like Tropical said, on the internet, all the places and stuff. And until you see your heroes again, this is Aimless Babble Z, and we're now signing off.